Now, Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
We're going to have our first, not our first, our one of our many signings, but our first of the year, our first for the 2005 CD in December, and we will tell you where, and we will tell you when, and we'll tell you to bring your Best of the Year 2005 CD. Don't forget the event on November the 13th to benefit my friend's place. I just want to get this stuff out of the way. It's the holiday season. It's a time where maybe we don't think, you know, we're not sitting there and thinking about ourselves all the time. You know, maybe we can spend, oh, I don't know, 2 seconds a day thinking about somebody other than ourselves. Maybe we can spend just a little bit of time not walking by a storefront and glancing at our reflection in the glass. Maybe we can spend a little bit of time not walking by a mirror and just sort of pretending like we're not looking sideways at ourselves as we adjust the crotch of our pants. Thank you. Now, let me, is Ms. Gray on the line, bud? Is Ms. Gray on the line, bud?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, did you get the dirt out from underneath your nails?
Yeah, I just got a chisel out of my...
Great, is she on the line?
Who?
Let me find out if she's in. Margaret, are you there? I don't think she is. Let me see. Are you there, ma'am? What am I listening to, bud?
I don't know. It sounded like water or something.
There she is. Ms. Gray, I'm sorry. Thank you for joining us. I know you're at the White House. I know you have joined Cindy Sheehan. Have you handcuffed yourself to the fence in front of the White House?
Yes, I have, Phil, and I will remain here until President Bush comes out of his ivory tower and comes down to the level of the American people. Phil, I am on Pennsylvania Avenue. Thank you very much, Phil. This is Margaret Gray. As we await tonight's state dinner in honor of Prince Charles and Camilla Bowles, and I think it's fitting that the president is involved in a matter of state, a state dinner that one might think is reminiscent of the tables that were set by some of the monarchs of Europe. Witness the menu this evening, Phil, and ladies and gentlemen listening to the program this evening. This evening, the president will be serving at his table for the prince and for the duchess glazed parsnips and young carrots. I find that so offensive because of the fact that...
Why?
Will I be allowed to finish what I'm saying?
Well, what do you mean? What's offensive? But you said, what is it?
Glazed parsnips and young carrots.
What's wrong with that?
So you're in favor of basically violating a carrot before it's become... I don't understand. What?
Violating a...
It's a young carrot, Phil.
And well, what about eating a full adult carrot, then? Are you trying to tell me...
May I be allowed to finish what I'm saying?
Mr. Hall said you need to let the guest finish before you interrupt and butt in.
Oh, okay, thanks.
Thank you, bud.
You're welcome.
Phil, I'm chained here in front of the White House. What are you doing?
I'm chained to a microphone.
Oh, poor baby. Are you trying to tell me you're complaining about your job?
I'm just saying that we all have our crosses to bear, okay? I love my job.
Oh, listen to Mr. Hendry. He's chained to his microphone. Maybe he needs his mama. Give that boy a bib. Sloppy with his drink. Now,
will you get on with the menu?
The menu, as I was saying, Phil, includes glazed parsnips and young carrots, fully violated young carrots, mint romaine lettuce with blood orange... Excuse me. With blood orange vinaigrette. What that is about, I don't know. Here's the rest. Fully violated tenderloin buffalo. There's also...
Is that what it says on the menu?
Mr. Hendry...
Does it say on the menu, fully violated tenderloin buffalo?
What do you call it when you take a buffalo and turn it into something you eat? I call that a violation that would have the writers of Oz proud. Now, I'll move on. Vermont... Camber Bay cheese, I don't know what that is, spiced walnut. I mean, Phil, this is something off of the table of Henry VIII. And I find it absolutely, absolutely untoward at a time when young men and women are dying in Iraq. Let's take a look at Mr. Bush's scorecard. First of all, he invades and deposes the legal leader of Iraq. Legal. Number two, he puts in an interim prime minister and then holds a referendum on a constitution that goes against all of Saddam Hussein's laws. Number three,
Will you clear your throat? Because I'm getting ready to hang up.
I'm sorry, I've got a little bit of an allergy. What a pain in the ass.
Yeah, well, you know what? It begins to sound like you're doing shtick in the middle of, you know, ragging on the president.
What's the matter? Are we ragging on your president, Phil? Do you need your amendment? Do you need...
You better... I swear to God, I'm going to hang up.
All right. Number four, he puts in an interim prime minister and holds a referendum on a constitution against all of Saddam Hussein's laws. Number five, he puts in an interim prime minister...
You read that as number four.
Number five, he is now going to have parliamentary elections. Now, what is this all about? I'll tell you what it's about. Little Georgie Bush wants to make his dad proud. Anyway,
I said I was going to hang up.
Don't you dare.
All right, what else?
Phil, there is no stopping this man. Our petition calling on President Bush to resign will be presented by Cindy Sheehan, who is chained along with me to the White House fence. And I am also chained to the White House fence. And I am going to be chained here until President Bush comes out of his state dinner and comes down off of his ivory tower and starts to address people like the human beings we are and isn't in the stateroom there violating buffalo and carrots. Now, I think I've said... Oh, Jesus. Is that all, Phil?
What's wrong?
I'm handcuffed to the fence, and I just noticed I've got to go to the bathroom. All right, Phil. Thank you very
much. Well, wait a minute. Get the key to get the key.
I don't have the key. I've got to go to the toilet. Is there someone?
Can I help you?
Is there some, Phil? If you could.
I'm in California. You're in Washington.
Well, I've got to go to the toilet.
Well, ma'am, I'm. You know, Margaret, there's no one has the key. What are you doing chained to the fence when no one has the key?
This is a statement. This is a fully committed political action statement. And I got to go to the toilet, and I don't know it.
Get somebody who can cut the...
Hold on for a minute. Darling, how are you doing? Is that a Wendy's cup? Hold on for a minute.
That's my Sprite.
Just hold on.
Oh, yeah!
You pig.
Well, I'm sorry.
In a kid's Wendy's cup?
I don't notice the difference. Oh, honey, thank you. That was very delicious.
Thank you.
Mmm, tangy. Now, Phil.
All right, thanks.
What? I didn't do it.
I know you didn't do it. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Jay Sattis of the Citizens Auxiliary Police joins us tonight. Bobby Dooley will also be with us, the president of the Western Estates Homeowners Association, on what do you do, ladies, when you are really smoking, slamming beautiful, and you walk by a guy, and he is immersed in his work and never once glances up at you. How do you deal with the humiliation? How do you ever look at yourself in the mirror again? We'll talk about that. And also, we're going to have on the line with us, we got to actually have a new feature on our show called I Wouldn't Mind If Their Car Flipped and Burst Into Flames, brought to you by Dodge. So that's tonight's featured person, Oliver Stone. Now, so don't miss that one. And we're also going to be talking to a gentleman who's a weightlifter, and he is a bodybuilder, and he's a little put out with the fact that he has a cleaning crew that comes in to clean his house, and he can't lift in his thong without them commenting on it. I mean, you know, they're from Guatemala, and they're not legal, and they're telling him he can't sit there and relax in something that just runs up the crack of his rear end. What's wrong with that, you know? So that's going to be on the program tonight. We have a little bit of email that I wanted to read because this is very important. As you know, last week we asked here on the Phil Hendry Show for a Jets bar here in the Los Angeles area, and we didn't get one call. Why? There isn't one Jets fan in L.A. That's why, Mark. Sorry. You're the only one, man. However, Harry went out there to Tinhorn Flats in Toluca Lake, which is the Chicago Bears bar in Los Angeles, according to Harry. He said the place was great. It was convivial. The people were warm, friendly, embraceable. He walked in, and he wasn't there 5 minutes, and there were three women who had reservations for the top of his nose. I'm kidding. And you said that, but I didn't.
Well, I wrote it down. You'd have to read it.
Also, very nice email here from a guy by the name of Dooner. And he says, hands down, the best Steelers bar in Los Angeles is the Steel Pit in Tujunga. Reason why I mention this, folks, is because we don't have a pro football team here. Although they are talking about the Saints moving here. The jury's out in my head about the Saints moving here. I think it's good, but then I think it's bad. And then I think it's good again. And then I think it's bad again. And I go back and forth like that, and finally I fall asleep. And that's how I go to sleep at night. Some people count sheep. I debate the whole Saints move. Anyway, the Steel Pit in Tahunga, great menu, excellent variety of beers, friendly crowd, three big screens, as well as numerous small TVs throughout the space. Love the show, Dooner. So that's the Steelers bar, but we don't have a New York Jet bar. We also don't have a Buffalo Bill bar. We don't have a Tampa Bay Buccaneer bar. We don't. I wonder if there's a Carolina Panther bar here. You know, where's the rabid Panther fans?
Hey, Jaguar fans, now here in L.A., we've got a bar, and Jesus, it's great.
Jacksonville Jaguars. Bet you there's a rockin' 49er bar around here. Raider bars probably abound. Seahawk bar? Is there even a Seahawk bar in Seattle? Probably not. You go to Seattle. Okay, where's the Seahawk bar? Who? And what do you think the Bear... What's the Bears bar in Chicago, man? The Cubby Bear Lounge? I'm kidding. But people go to the Cubby Bear for Bears games? I bet you they do, man.
Absolutely.
Yeah. That place must be a bit... That's a beautiful thing down there. That whole neighborhood is just a... That whole neighborhood needs to stay the way it is. Not necessarily because I would live there myself or, you know, I've been there. But that whole neighborhood around Wrigley needs to be there just... To say, you know what, we feel like we're going to keep it here and we don't care about doming the stadium or making it really round. Speaking of round stadiums, you know you're dealing with a younger generation when they say things like, you know, I really like those old stadiums that were perfectly symmetrical and, the outfield was just big round ball. And I remember when people hated those things. That's why they built Camden Yards. That's why they built that Astros. What are the ballparks they got now? Camden Yards. And everybody decided to go that route, which is the throwback ballpark, which is the asymmetrical field. Although they haven't gone whole hog, man, because there was a time when Yankee Stadium straightaway center was 475 feet. Now think about that. The Polo Grounds was 480 feet straightaway. 480 feet. Of course, right field was 290. So, what about... Boy, I'll tell you that, Babe. Yeah, the guy's shooting to a freaking fence. It's 250. What are you talking about? Well, still, I mean, a guy could really crack it. Yeah, I could. I could crack it. In fact, half of the Fernwood Auto Body Little League team could jack it over that. And then, so everybody started doing that. But before that, around 1970, they said, these asymmetrical ballparks are toilet bowls. They suck. We still have the color service here signs up. Let's just rip the whole ballpark. Well, why can't we just move the signs? No. I don't want to do that anymore. We've been moving millions of those signs, and they still keep drinking at the same fountain. No, we got to start off with the whole thing, do it all over again, and let's build a modern ballpark, Bill. What do you think? What do you mean? Well, what we'll do, how about we make everything uniform? The right field line, 360 feet. Left field line, 360 feet, or whatever the hell you want it to be. Straight A center, 420. What about Dodger Stadium? 420. What about out there in Pittsburgh? 420. What about 420? Say every ball, but 420. How high is the fence? I don't know, 10 feet, 11 feet, 12 feet, boom. So all the ballparks from Riverfront to Three River Stadium to the freaking Astrodome, which is the most frightening thing that has ever been put on this planet, to all of those things were perfectly round. Then it got to be around 19, whatever the hell it was, 95, and everyone was ready to just pitch up their guts. They couldn't take it any longer, so some guy came up with a bright idea of buying a piece of property down in the industrial part of town where the rail yards are, where the cows get slaughtered, where the hobos sleep in a boxcar, and say, perfect place for a ballpark. Let's put up the fence. Let's make it look like an old ballpark. All right. However, without the old-time prices. So you say, just like the ballpark your grandfather went to, only the prices have tripled. So now you can go out and enjoy a ball game the way it might have looked back in the 1920s, and you're paying $6,000 a game to sit there, eat a dog that's going to give you mites, and then go park your car someplace where a guy will walk along with a ski cap and say, well, you know what the deal is, right? Yeah, I understand. Just get the hands on the hood, and we can get this over with. And he's not talking about taking your money either. So that's the deal. So that's why... We talk about these baseball stadiums, man. It's cool. But the whole reason why I mention this is because we ain't got no ballpark here in L.A. Not that you'd notice. Not that anything's going to come up to the level of what the NFL wants. See, what they want is they want luxury boxes. They want flying cars that'll take you to and fro. You know, they want the whole modern NFL experience, which means something that we ain't got, man. I think it's astrophysical. I don't know. What do they need over there? Well, you're not quite ready for the National Football League. What are you cats are talking about? Metaphysics here, man? What, do I got to be able to vaporize people and send them off to their car in a freaking one of them Star Trek machines? What are you talking about? What do we got to have, man? You got to have luxury boxes, baby. You got to be able to seat people comfortably. You got to, you must. And what do you got? You got that ballpark down there in the middle of freaking gangland, and the guys are parking cars there for $40. You come out, your car's gone. Where are they? At my house? At me, Paul Tagliabue's. Yes, used cars at Tagliabue's. Fresh from the L.A. Coliseum. Your choice, Mercedes-Benz. Tagliabue's got a whole deal with the gangs down there now. He steals all the cars until we build a new stadium. All right, so we ain't got that. So in the meantime, we got to sit around here, dig, you know, our hometown teams. We got to find a decent freaking bar to go to. Because if you don't have a decent sports bar to go to watch your team, it is the most horrific experience on earth. You can sit at home, and you can watch with your wife and kids. Well, here's the experience of my house. I want to watch Rugrats. Well, can I? Today's football day, baby. Well, what? And how many times are you going to watch Friends, man? I mean, what is it with you?
I love that show. It's my favorite show of all time. It's
my daughter.
I wish I could know those people and be with them.
I'm going, oh, God, are you a casualty? So what are we going to do here? You're going to watch the same episode again?
I love it.
All right, today's Sunday. We're watching football. All right. Sit down, flip it on. My wife's reading the paper. And naturally, I'm saying things like, look at that. Look at that wide receiver, wide open. That number two receiver, wide open because the guy was blitzing in.
Uh-huh.
And anyway, or you can go find a place where guys stand around, drink a lot of beer, and talk dumb, but they talk dumber than you. So you sound good, and they think you're like the football genius. And it's got to be your sports bar. So anyway, thanks for the Jets bar. Thanks for the Steelers. But no thanks for the Jets bar. The Steelers bar is nice. And the Bears bar, well, whatever, man. Here's another letter. This is from Pierre. Sweet Jesus, you weren't kidding when you said it's been quite some time since Roland Schwinn had called in. The poor bastard sounds like he's gained 300 pounds in his neck. Cheers, Pierre. That's right, Pierre. We had Roland on last night, and he had a tough time breathing. So all the responses were just one word. So what do you think about that? It's good. We ought to play it as a flashback sometime. Ryan in Syracuse writes, as I finished part 6 of your drive to work video last night, I sat bewildered at how I just wasted an entire 1 minute and 46 seconds of my life watching you drive to work and sing to yourself. I was waiting for something interesting to happen, like a bit of road rage or a jackball in the passing lane going 55, but nothing was all I got in return. I then proceeded to watch the rest of your driving videos, only to realize that they all ended the same and that I have no life. Thanks for helping me. Oh, sweet God, you gloyed. Great show as always, Ryan. Well, see, dude, I don't know what's going to happen. I filmed these 1 minute segments just to see if something's going to happen. And if it doesn't, I just put it up there. But there's still a long way to go, man. We've only covered, well, how long does it take you to drive in a minute?
About a mile.
You've gone about a mile in a minute 10. Maybe. So we've only basically gone 6 miles. And guess what? It's 45 miles to work. That means 45 weeks. That means this is going to take all year for me to get to work, as it usually does. Or I can do what I was thinking of doing today, man. Just turn the freaking camera on when I leave the house and let that sucker run. I'm afraid it's going to run out of batteries. That's all. It's going to run out of juice. And I'm afraid something cool won't happen. If I split it up in a lot of days, the one time something really cool happened, I was going home. I wasn't going to work. And that's when I came over to grade and the entire city of Calabasas was on fire. And I wanted to do what everybody else wanted to do, pull over, get out the Tupperware of grapes, sit there and just, pop grapes into my mouth, pop a soda, and just enjoy watching people's homes burn right to the foundation. Boy, look at that. See that one there? That's probably that pre-77 insulation, huh?
Who wants egg salad, Billy?
Give me some of that. You got any of the tuna left? No. Who ate all the tuna? Meanwhile... 1-800-449-8686. So we will be talking about the propriety of lifting weights in a thong while Guatemalan cleaning women are in your home. We'll also be on tonight with our feature, I Wouldn't Mind If Their Car Flipped and Burned. And we also have, of course, Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police to talk about some ideas he has for further securing America against crime. Bobby Dooley will join us. And more on the world-famous Phil Henry Show and our flashback by request coming up next hour. Another classic. Which one is it, Mark? It's the, you told me it was a classic.
Steve Bozell.
Oh, yeah, that John Holmes zucchini, yeah.
Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Got a major flashback by request. If you have a flashback to request, just to give us a shoot us an email at phs@philhendryshow.com. Sign up for our webcast November the
11th.
11th, and that's $6.95. Going to take a couple of phone calls now. Hello, Austin. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Yeah, Phil. I wanted to mention the Hurricane Katrina and how the media has been dealing with it because it's had an effect.
Could you get close to the phone, sir?
Yes, sir. I said I wanted to mention Hurricane Katrina because the media has oversold it, and I think it has an effect on people, on families. And my family, I've got two daughters who have sold, I don't know, probably about $1,300 worth of cupcakes and lemonade and this sort of thing for Hurricane Katrina, and they gave me the money to put into a savings account for them, and I used the money instead to purchase a pool table. And the reason why I did that...
why would you do that?
Well, I'll tell you, the reason why I did it is because number one, I've had my eye on a pool table, and I've always wanted to play pool, and I'm getting good at it. And yet, I also know my daughter's raising money for Katrina. But here's what I wanted to say to you. The media has beat the name Katrina, I think, into the minds of people and continued to beat on it and continued to beat on it until when you hear the name Katrina, you are sick and tired of hearing it, and there's been a backlash for me, and I know there has been for a lot of people. And I'll tell you what, I'm planning on getting good at pool, and I want to enter tournaments.
Hold on for a minute. I want to talk about your pool game. Tell me about what you mean by a backlash, because, you know, obviously there's the Wilma relief.
Well, the Wilma relief, which is in South Florida, I don't hear the people in South Florida screaming, about Katrina or about being not having no place to live, you know. And
well, it wasn't as bad as Katrina.
I know that, but when my daughters said that we're going to raise the money because the school told us to for Katrina, there was something in me that just sort of snapped. And I said, okay, by God, that's it, you know. And I took the money and I bought a pool table. Phil, what I'm trying to get you to understand,
first of all, this was your daughter's money.
But I'm trying to get you and people to understand this. I know a lot of people feel the way that I do. The media has played up the Katrina disaster so much that now when I hear about Katrina relief, I want to do something that is the reverse of helping. I want to do something almost immoral. And I spoke to a number of people who feel this way. I even spoke to our pastor at our church, and I said to him that the Katrina relief has caused me to, hearing so much about it, has caused me to want to do something vulgar or do something that's bad because I am sick and tired of hearing about it. And so I went out and bought a pool table, and I talked to
him. Well, you talked to your pastor?
Yes, I did.
What did he say?
I think he was mostly sympathetic. I think he said, you know, his feeling is that sometimes we try to do the right thing, and in trying to do the right thing, we overdo it. We overdo the right thing. And then the natural reaction is to it's almost as if you want to open up the dike again and reflood New Orleans. You know, it makes...
Well, I don't think anybody is saying that.
Well, there's a sense in the country where people are so sick of hearing about Katrina relief that some people do want to reflood that city. And I'll tell you something else, Phil.
I haven't heard it.
I'll tell you something else. New Orleans, before that hurricane, and forgive me for saying this, but New Orleans before that hurricane was a filthy toilet. And the only thing that's going to happen after Katrina is benefit. They're going to make that city better than it was. And
boy, you really do have a problem, don't you, man? I mean, you're talking about people that died, dude. You're talking...
Well, a lot of people died, Phil, but not as many as they said, so they can't hang that over your head. Because
But people died.
Yeah, but they said there's going to be 10,000 people dead. Now, I heard that number. And then the next day they say, oh, we're going to scale it down. And then the next day, well, looks like only maybe about 1,000. So they made everybody that contributed to Katrina relief look like an ape. They looked like me. They made me look like a chimp swinging from one arm swinging. And then my daughters get in on the act until I finally said, you know something? Now I feel, and I talked to my pastor about this, now I want that city to be reflooded. Not only do I not want to help dry it out, I want it to get soaking wet again. And
all right, well, you're saying some stuff that is really angry sounding, man.
I know that, Phil.
All right, you know that?
Yes.
All right. And not only that, but you took the money that your daughters raised for this and you used it to buy a pool table. Is that the immorality you're talking about?
Yes, sir, it is.
Do you think that billiards pool is immoral?
I think on a certain level it is, yes, sir.
Well, what would you say if I told you that I play pool, that everybody I know plays pool?
Well, I'm not going to comment on that, Mr. Henry. I'm just going to say, if you ever saw a long time ago an old-time movie called The Music Man, and in that movie he plays a gentleman who comes into a city, and he sings a song about We Got Trouble in River City, and it starts with T and it ends with E, and that stands for pool. Pool and billiards have always been a kind of a game that, in my upbringing, has always, there's been a lot of race mixing, there's a lot of gambling, a lot of things like that. Not so much race mixing, but a lot of people interacting with Jews and that kind of thing.
All right, hold on for a minute. Whatever this guy's trying to talk about, man. This cat is so upset about Katrina, he's so sick and tired of hearing about Katrina that he took the $1,300 his daughters raised for a Katrina relief and bought a pool table. And he figures he has to do something immoral to counter the hype about Katrina. In fact, he wants the city of New Orleans reflooded. He wants to take up pool, and it's just like the guy in The Music Man said, we got trouble right here in River City. Okay. Good God, was that Della Reese?
Yeah.
I thought it was a balloon or something.
Yeah, that's very funny.
I, honest to God, I did.
It's real, real highbrow material.
But I'm telling you, when I looked up, I saw a round thing, and I didn't know it was Della Reese's face.
That's, boy, hey, Ryan Seacrest could use some of your material.
Never mind. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police later with us. A man who has problems with his cleaning women while he's trying to work out in his apartment. The new Phil Hendry Show feature, I wouldn't mind if their car flipped and burned on an interstate. And other elements of the program will be forthcoming, including our flashback by request. All right, let's get back to your problem, sir, and I appreciate you hanging on. And your name is Austin, right?
Yes, sir. Phil, it's Austin Markham.
All right. Anyway, I would say to you that you should be proud of those little girls.
Oh, Phil, I'm very proud of my daughters. I'm very proud of my daughters.
Well, hold on for a minute. You should be proud of those little girls for raising that money. And it's something...
Well, you know that kids do stuff because they're told to do it. If my daughters... I think any kid in America who's raised money for Hurricane Katrina relief, if you were to question them and ask them, do you really care whether New Orleans ever exists again, they'd probably say not really. You know, they don't. All they know is what the adults told them to do, and they want to go out and do it so that they don't get, they don't get beaten or they don't get, beat up.
Oh, come on, man. I mean, you're not going to beat your kids up.
I don't lay a hand on my children.
All right, but anyway, you took their money that they raised for Katrina relief. You bought a billiard table with it because you're sick and tired of hearing about Katrina relief.
Well, no, but I'm, the point I'm making...
And you're blaming the media.
Well, I'm blaming the media because the media has built... as they can't stop talking about Katrina to the point where any rational man, after hearing the hype about Hurricane Katrina, his only reasonable reaction would be to want to go out and do something bad, just as to cleanse yourself of all the sanctimoniousness. And so billiards, I was raised with the belief that billiards, that pool is the source of a lot of bad things. And, whether you've got blacks and whites blending together, in a nightclub.
You got a race problem or...
No, sir, I do not.
What do you mean blacks and whites blending together?
No, I'm just saying, what I should have said is bad and good elements,
Well, who's the bad element? The black folks?
No, no, no. I'm saying whoever. I think you're way off the point.
Well, let me get to some phone calls here. Wendell, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Yes, I'm responding to the last caller. That would be me. That would be.
I'm still on the line.
I think you have a real issue.
What's that, sir? I didn't hear your phone cut out.
I think you have a real race issue, a problem with race.
No, sir. I'm sorry if you got that impression. That's not the case at all. I guess what I'm saying is that billiards pool was first popularized in these pool halls, and a lot of people would go to these pool halls.
In bad elements, you.
Are you on a radio phone? Because seriously,
let me do it, sir. Hey, Wendell. Sounds like you're on some kind of a phone that keeps clipping out. You might have a limiter on that thing. I don't know what it is, but restate what you just said. And if we continue to have problems, maybe I'll put you on hold until you get to a better cell or something. Go ahead.
Okay.
Yeah, the guy sounds a little bit like Darth Vader.
Let him just say what he's saying. Go ahead, sir.
All right. What I'm saying is that you brought up the issue about blacks and whites blending, and you said good and bad elements, and there's some underlying race issues.
Right there, he cut out.
You know what's happening? I know what's happening, Wendell. Every time we talk, it hits the limiter on your phone. Say that again, and we won't say a word. Go ahead.
Okay, what I'm saying is that the gentleman brought up the blending of the white and black races, and then he also bad elements. And it's already known that the Katrina incident highly affected black people. And he says something about cleansing himself from all the stuff that the news media has done. So he uses pool, which is a way of cleansing himself, because he seems to think that playing pool is immoral. So what I think he's doing is he's acting out on some racial tendencies, and the Katrina incident highly affected.
I feel very bad, the gentleman. When I talk about whites and blacks blending in, I don't mean that they shouldn't. I'm saying, but you see the blend. You know, you see sort of a mixture, and you didn't. And I hope you don't mind, Phil. I wanted to play a little bit of this Star Wars music in honor of the gentleman who just called, because his phone. Man, that is straight out of Darth Vader's footlocker. Jesus.
What, are we doing shtick now?
Say what?
Are we doing shtick?
No, sir, I just wanted... Did you hear the last guy?
I listened to the man struggling. The man's got a limiting device on his phone, which sounds... Every time you talk...
Go right ahead, Scotty.
Okay, I'm going to put you on hold, man, and go to a break.
Oh, you're a pain in the...
I don't know. A lot of these cell phones, I can tell some of you guys this, that there's a thing called a limiter. It clips. It clips your, if you get too loud, it clips your voice off. You ought to disable it. Some of you guys will call a show, and just talking about, like, if you're out there talking with your friends, if you get too loud, it clips your voice. Now, some genius at the cell phone factory thought this would be really groovy, so that, I don't know what, but what it effectively does is it makes your phone sound like that. 1-800-449-8686. Well, I heard the guy say that before there was such a thing as billiards, the races didn't blend the way they do now. And he also said that Hurricane Katrina he's sick and tired of hearing about it because there's been an oversell on it. There's been an overkill on it. And all this goody-two-shoe stuff makes him want to go out and flood New Orleans all over again. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Let me just give one more try to this gentleman who's calling actually from a seminary in Atlanta. Wendell?
Yes.
Yeah, go right ahead, sir. Your phone sounds better now. Now, I understand you're a seminarian, correct? A theological student?
Yes, I am.
Well, can I ask the gentleman a question?
Go ahead.
At the seminary where you study theology, sir, is there race mixing or...
Don't try 61.
Oh, will you stop?
I'm just doing some jokes.
I got to hang up on the poor guy. His phone is a real mess. Ed, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show. Ed?
Yeah.
Go right ahead, sir. You're on the air.
I think the gentleman is a dirtbag. I think he just used his kids. He wanted a pool table.
No, sir.
Got to be a
no, sir. Sir, let me ask you a question. How much are we going to hear about Hurricane Katrina before we say enough is enough? The American Red Cross.
Has nothing to do with it. Hasn't got a thing to do with it. The kids done it in good faith. That's not your call. That's their call.
Excuse me. They're my daughters. They're underage. They're minors. They are under our supervision.
I don't care if my children, when they were growing up, and they used to go around and collect for Jerry Lewis telephone.
Jerry
I would
Lewis.
Never,
and
never
you allowed
take
that.
Their money.
And you allowed that.
Of course they did.
So in other words, your daughters are doing the bidding of Jerry Lewis. What about you? Do you get any say in this?
No, I shouldn't.
You should. So Jerry Lewis
they
reaches into your home with his steroid-inflated hand and tells your children what to do. Boy, I'll tell you.
Now, that's not
well,
what the man's saying.
What to do.
Well,
they're telling what they wanted
no,
to do.
No, sir, you're telling me that Jerry Lewis
no.
controls them from Las Vegas.
Just like your minister. Your minister made a mistake. He should have told you. You ought to be ashamed of yourself.
Sir, I'm just trying
for
to
what
play.
You did.
I'm trying to keep my family afloat
no,
with the earnings
not
from
either.
A pool tournament.
You wanted a pool
yes,
tournament.
I
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.